This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do, Stan?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do all last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy. And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or like Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet. And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you, too. Peace out.
PFW in Progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a freaking idiot?
All right, speaking of freaking idiots, here we are. Fred Kirsch and Tom Cassell. I'll just speak for myself, Tom.
Okay, well, I'm an idiot, too, so.
We're here at PFW in Progress, and welcome to a Friday on PFW in Progress. We're getting ready for the big game Sunday night. Sunday night football here on Gillette Stadium playing the Denver Broncos. Big game for the Patriots to kind of atone for last year's playoff loss where they really just beat themselves. So it's a big game for everyone.
This is what I consider a fans game.
This is a fans game. Yeah, why is that?
Because like you made the point that the Patriots don't like hate the Broncos because they lost, which I agree with. I think they really would like to win this game because, like you said, a tone
right.
for their loss. But this is something as a fan, they ruined your chances of hosting an AFC championship game in a place you've never lost a playoff game, which means you might have won your third Super Bowl in a row.
Right.
You know, there was a questionable officiating call in that game, so the fans really get worked up over something like this. I mean, I hear they want to know when the parking lot opens. They're going to be here. This is going to be a playoff atmosphere this Sunday night at Gillette Stadium.
I would imagine there'll be either a lot of people going into work Monday or calling in sick. Because Sunday night game, people have to work Monday, but I don't think people will be tuning out early in this one.
No.
I think they'll be watching the whole thing. And as we will, we're excited about it. So we'll be here until 2 o'clock. As you know, in case you missed the show yesterday, we now do our picks on Thursdays from 1 to 2. So that means on Friday, we're wide open. We can take all your emails, all your calls. Email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. And again, that email address, webradio@patriots.com. A little later in the first hour, maybe the second hour, I'm not sure, Gary called me and said we had a guest today.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few times Gary pulled through for us.
He always pulls through.
But this is a big game Sunday night, and of course it's NBC Sunday Night Football, so everyone from NBC is on hand. Including the producer of Sunday Night Football, Fred Gadelli. And Fred will be joining us in person, Tom.
Good.
So if you have any questions about flexible scheduling, how much you hate it, you know, that type of thing. Actually, as a fan, you got to love it.
I love it for a fan. For us, it's a little more difficult because we're not sure, you know, when we play.
Right.
The good thing is, though, looking at the schedule, I've looked at two games that could possibly be moved to the Sunday night game. One's obviously the Dolphins game if they get their act together. The other one, though, is Jacksonville, and that's Christmas Eve night. They can't move it because that's the one
right.
Sunday that they can't move
any
games.
They can't move it, so.
Because that, I mean, the way it's looking, that's shaping up to be a big one.
It is. If Jacksonville continues playing the way they're playing, for both teams, that could be a huge game. So we'll see.
Well, flexible scheduling's good. It's something I thought they should have gone to a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, the only people I think it hurts are the season ticket holders that had planned to go for a 1 o'clock Sunday game, and now, you know, for whatever reason, they have to change their schedule or, you know, whatever.
But how early do you find out if your game has been moved? Is it the week before?
No, I think it's at least 2 weeks. But
that gives you a pretty good time frame, though, to change your schedule, you know?
It does. So, I mean, how many times do you get toward the end of the season on a Monday night football game? And
it's just terrible.
You know, it always seems like that last game's a dog.
Remember last year they had a it was a Ravens-Packers Monday night game where the Ravens just killed them. I was just like, I don't think I watched one play of that game. And I watch high school football when it's on. I love football. And that game was so boring and so uninteresting. I could care less.
I mean, it's no guarantee that once the game's being played, obviously, it'll be a good game. But at least going in,
it's an interesting
it'll be two
matchup.
Teams that, you know, have a chance to compete against each other.
And in today's NFL, especially, where you don't know who's going to be good and who's going to be bad, if you're scheduling the Packers, you know, and thinking they're going to be good, they could be what they were last year, and then you're sitting with a dog game.
All right. Let's get to the Patriots, Tom. Open locker room doesn't start till 1:30 today. That's a new schedule that they made for Fridays for some reason. But Belichick had his press conference this morning. I assume you were there.
I was there. I'm always there.
Okay. What was up?
Just talking more about the Broncos, you know, about what they do on offense and defense. Usually on the Broncos week, he spends a lot of time talking about what they do systematically, scheme-wise.
What is that?
I think it's because of the media is interested in the chess match between Shanahan and Belichick. Belichick being a defensive guy, Shanahan being an offensive guy, and they like to. And plus, the Broncos have that weird thing where their running game, no matter who they plug in, no one can seem to stop it. So a lot of people like to ask Belichick about that. And the other reason is, I think, is because they haven't had success against Denver. You look at Belichick, he has, you know, pretty much a winning record against everybody. Shanahan's the one guy that's kind of had his number, and I think that's a little intriguing as well.
Showing a lot of love for each other this week, both Shanahan for Belichick and Belichick for
Shanahan. Did you hear what Shanahan said about the Ben Watson play?
What?
Greatest play he's ever seen since he's been in the NFL.
Is that right?
Based on effort and what he had to do, where he had to come from. He said it was the – and, you know, I didn't want to say this last year because I didn't want to stir the pot, but the more I look at that play, that ball went out of the end zone. I really think it did go out of the end zone. The more I look at it now, I kind of thought it did when I first saw it, but I've seen it a couple times this week because they keep showing the play. You know, I know it's tough to overturn, but I think I'm not blaming the replay officials for not overturning it.
Did he go out of bounds before the ball?
He didn't go out of bounds. So it's where the ball went out. And if you look at that, I think the ball went through the end zone. I mean, it's irrelevant now, but that's what, you know, that's the fans thing. You know, they think they got a couple of bad calls there, and they'll be pumped up for this one.
And as we know the rule, if you fumble out of the end zone, the ball goes back to the other team.
Yeah.
I don't understand that rule. I never will, but that's the way that rule's written.
That's a bad rule.
Yeah. Why?
It is what it is.
If you fumble the ball out of the end zone, why do you lose possession of it?
I don't understand that. That is a bad rule. They should get it back to the point where it was fumbled, I think.
Yeah. I guess there's some... Well, anyway, we're not going to get into a whole dissection of that rule. What else? Anything else that, you know, new news going in? Injury report that came out yesterday?
I've got to be honest. The injury report's been pretty conservative this year. It's been basically the guys that we know who are hurt. You know, Matt Light showed up
this week. He showed up.
He's probable, though, which is good. Because if he's questionable, you know, with the Patriots injury report, that could maybe mean out. With probable, it's probably a good sign that he's still going to play.
Well, the only thing is he hasn't, at least for the media portion, shown up to practice yet.
Right.
We don't know. He could be out there. We just don't know. But
now here's the thing we were talking about yesterday. You weren't here, right, mm-hmm. when we were talking about this? Would you, if Light, say, let's just suppose Kazier's not ready and Light's not, can't play. Would you, A, start Wesley Britt, or B, move Mankins over and put Hochstein at guard?
What about moving O'Callaghan over?
That's another possibility, but Andy is in the firm belief that he's a right tackle, not a left tackle.
Yeah, I would probably move Mankins over.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Because he's played tackle.
Yeah.
You know, he's a better player than Wesley Britt.
Right.
And with the way the Broncos blitz, especially off the edge, I don't know if you want a practice squad guy protecting Brady's blind side.
I mean, knowing what happened last year against the Broncos, this is a bad game for Matt Light to miss.
Yeah.
You know, because if you recall, last game, Light was out. Kazier was playing left tackle. Okay. Ashworth was playing right tackle.
Right.
And he was sick as a dog.
Right.
For that game. You know, there was a question if he was even going to play about a half hour before that game. So the offensive line was in tough shape going into that game. And that was one of the reasons, in addition to not being able to run the ball, that really hurt the Patriots in that game.
Yeah.
So they're in a little better shape this week than they were last year. But still an issue. you know, picking up that blitz, they're going to blitz.
It's funny too, because I asked Bill the question today about the blitz, because I was wondering if teams run the ball successfully, if they blitz less, because I thought I noticed in the AFC Championship game, and I may be wrong, that they blitz less against the Steelers, but it might have been because of the way the game was going too. But he said the reason they blitz so much is because the way they stunt. And someone has to be behind the stunners. So if there's no blitzer, there's no one there. So he says the way they play pretty much means they'll blitz no matter what. So you can expect blitzing from the Broncos, apparently, according to Belichick, no matter if the Patriots are running the ball well or not.
That's interesting.
But see, I still believe, though, no matter what their scheme is, if you're blitzing like that and Maroney has a crack, it's touchdown city, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a good issue to bring up. This might be the game where Maroney gets, you know, they've been kind of even in the touches between the two of them. This might be the game where Maroney gets more touches.
I think you're going to see a big play from Maroney out of the running game this week.
That would be nice. That'd be nice to see. Chad Jackson and Doug Gabriel on the report for hamstrings, but are they
Chad Jackson
probable?
No, Jackson's actually questionable.
Oh, okay.
But he looked okay last week.
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't know if he tweeted again.
No, right. But even the plays that, I don't know if the fans could see this on TV, but even the plays that he didn't make, he was still getting off the ball really quick and getting downfield. So me and Andy were kind of watching that, and we didn't see any ill effects from the hamstring injury. He was cutting, he was running fast, and something happened after.
Yeah. So,
but he seemed to be in good spirits yesterday in the locker room. Him, Ellis Hobbs, and Artrell Hawkins were joking around. Hawkins too on the injury report was in good spirits in the locker room.
Yeah.
He was, him and Hobbs were joking.
And Sanders is still on the injury report?
Sanders is on the injury report, and I don't recall seeing him this. No, he's not on the injury report.
Oh, he isn't.
He's not. No, he was wearing a red non-contact jersey one of the days at practice. I haven't seen him in the locker room, but since he's not on the injury report, I would expect that he's fine.
For Denver, any news on Rod Smith? Whether
he's
he'll
playing?
Play? He'll play.
He's playing.
Okay, because he had the concussion or. He got knocked in the head.
Well, reports are he's playing out of Denver. Newspapers say he's playing.
Denver's just as crazy as we are when it comes to the injury report, so you never know.
But the difference is I don't think Shanahan hates the media. I think he hates fantasy football.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's the rumor, that he hates fantasy football, and he doesn't want fantasy football players to know who he started at running back.
I share that with him, then. I have a lot of respect for that.
I don't know if I would adjust my entire football team around it, but...
Well, here's the problem I have with fantasy football. It gets people rooting for players, and they have. It doesn't even matter what the team does.
Fred,
it's like, I have him on my fantasy
Fred,
football.
As a businessman, it gets people excited about the NFL and like games you normally wouldn't care about. I don't think they listen. Let me put it this way, Patriot fans: if you have Rod Smith on your team, you want a goose egg this week. I bet you some Patriot fans won't even start him in their league because they don't want to root for him against the Patriots. So I don't think it affects the way you root for the game.
I think it does. I was at a Saints game with Brian Morey, and he had the kicker for the Saints on his fantasy football team. He was hoping he was kicking field goals.
Well, maybe Brian Morey didn't like the Patriots as much as you thought, Fred.
I don't know.
I wouldn't see Tom Casale doing that.
I understand that 60 million people play fantasy football, so it must be good for something, but... You know, people like porn too, and I'm not into that.
Well, I just think the majority of people do it just as a side thing to, you know, just to keep interested. And, you know, if my team's playing somebody, I'm not rooting for that opposing quarterback to score 50 fantasy points so I can get one win in a fantasy
league. One thing I'll say is, you know, the real hardcore fantasy people, they know the matchups.
Yeah.
You know, they keep track of, you know, people's stats, how they did last time they played against a certain player or team. And so it certainly gets them, like you said, interested in the sport and involved. But, you know, I resist playing because I don't want to get – I know what will happen. I'll start playing, and I'll turn into one of those geeks, and I'll be, like, checking games and how did this guy do and how did
that
guy do.
Why does that make you a geek? Because a lot of players play too, you know.
Oh, they're geeks. I don't care.
All right. Well, Willie McGinnis is a geek.
Yeah. Well, when you say play, they probably have a team, and they probably look at it once a year, and that's it. I doubt that they're on the website looking up things.
Play fantasy football, right. Trust me.
Hey, interesting. Today I was listening to Sirius, and I guess Keyshawn Johnson's on one of the shows.
Yeah, he's got his own show or something. I heard that.
I mean, boy, he was really down on Chad Johnson. Now, Chad Johnson's his cousin.
Right.
And
what's the problem?
Saying he's acting like a fool with the dyed hair and the touchdown dances, really coming out against him. And there were some callers calling in saying, you know, he's good for the sport, and why are you so down on him? And Johnson's like, look, I think he's a great player. He just doesn't need to do that. I'm not for it.
Well, I can tell you what's going on here.
Okay,
jealousy. Do you know why Chad Johnson did that with his hair?
Why?
Because they're selling fake Mohawks at the stadium, and he's making money off of it. Everything Chad Johnson does, it makes money. He's like Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders, he admitted everything he did with the primetime thing was to get more money in his pocket.
Yeah, sure.
And that's what Chad Johnson's doing. He's a businessman and he's a showman. That's why I don't have a problem with it. He didn't do that just to create a fad. He did it because he's making money off of it.
He's not like Clinton Portis.
Right. Clinton Portis may be a little crazy.
I think he's nuts.
Chad Johnson, when he does something, there's always something behind it. See, I always thought there was a difference between, like, Dennis Rodman and Deion Sanders. I think Deion Sanders was a smart businessman, while Dennis Rodman was just a nutcase. And with the stuff he did, he actually did because he was crazy. And I think Chad Johnson is a smart businessman. Anything he does, there's a reason behind it. And I think Keyshawn, you know what? Here's the number one pick in the draft. Never really lived up to that. Maybe he's a little jealous that his little cousin is one of these top receivers. He's every time, look, NFL Network, who's on right now? Chad Johnson.
Right.
Every time he turns around, you're seeing Chad Johnson. And we know Keyshawn is a very proud, cocky type of guy. Might be a little jealous.
Okay. That's a good theory. Stan, from The Man, wants to know if there's any news on Light and who'll be the opening, left tackle on Sunday. We were just talking about that. We don't know. You know, we're assuming maybe they might move Mankins over. But
I would be shocked if it was Wesley Britt.
But I can't imagine they'll bring in Kasher either because he hasn't played yet this year.
No, I would think if they had to play Britt, they would move O'Callaghan over and play Britt on the right side.
Yeah,
I just can't see Wesley Britt starting that game as the starting left tackle.
Well, because
that would be a shocker.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. Even if they move O'Callaghan over.
But then the reason I say I would move O'Callaghan over is because these guys were kind of in competition in camp, and O'Callaghan clearly beat him, which means he's the better player of the two.
Yeah.
And I don't want Wesley Britt playing left tackle protecting Brady because Brady will get killed.
Yeah. So
get killed with Light out there, for Christ's sakes.
That's going to be a game-time decision, I would assume, unless all of a sudden Light comes off the injury report today, which... You know, usually when a guy's on the injury report, he stays on
it, sir,
until after the game. So we'll see about that. Webradio@patriots.com's email address, Colin writes in, or Colin from Connecticut, Colin. He says, haven't been able to email, but I've been listening and reading PFW. Great issue this week. Wanted to talk about the Pats real quick. How about this Maroney and Dylan combo? They're both posting some great numbers this season. What do you all think Ellis Hobbs will be covering this week against Denver? Will he be covering the starting wide receiver? Will they have him on a lesser receiver? With Denver's offensive side not faring well except with the running game, I do think the Pats will win this one 27-20. One more question before I go. Is Chad Scott being considered just a special teamer now instead of a starting cornerback or even a nickel like I thought at the beginning of the camp? Okay, so first question is... we love Maroney and Dylan combo, but
yeah.
we both think that this might be a game where Maroney exceeds Dylan in the number of touches that he gets.
It's only logical that as the year goes on, Maroney's going to get more carries because Dylan is older. Now, when you want Dylan is when it's 10 degrees out and it's freezing cold and he's pounded on the defense. So you don't want to give him too many carries in October and November when you can give them to Maroney and save Dylan for that end-of-the-year pounding, cold-weather type of runner. I thought what the Steelers did last year with Jerome Bettis was absolutely perfect. If you look at his distribution of carries, how it kind of increased as the season went on a little bit in those colder winter months, if they treat Dylan that way, I think it would be perfect.
Also, Ellis Hobbs, we know week one, well, he was on Lee Evans.
I don't think
week two, he was more of a...
This week, I don't think it matters because Rod Smith is older, but he destroys the Patriots. Javon Walker is younger and more explosive, can make more big plays. So I think this week he just plays a side. I don't see him really shadowing a guy because I don't think it gives the Patriots any advantage there.
And Chad Scott.
Well, he was out on the field against the. He made the
sure.
big hit.
He was the one that made the big hit on Jericho Cotchery.
Some people are criticizing him for that. I just don't see where that's coming from.
If Eugene Wilson wasn't on the ground,
right.
that would have been a tackle.
Let's put it this way:
if he
makes that hit 100 times, 97 times, Cotchery is on the ground. It was one of those things that it was an incredible, amazing play. There was no fault. That's what I want to see out of that secondary. I would like to see somebody hit like that a little bit more often because receivers are running too freely in the middle of that field like they did last year. And if it continues in these next few weeks, it's going to be a problem.
Right.
They need to start putting more people on their butts.
So Chad Scott's out there. So, you know, he's contributing.
Right.
More of a dime player,
yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But he's playing safety, too.
What? You just looked up.
Something happened in my headphones where, like, it cracked. And
oh, really?
I don't know what's going on.
Oh, okay.
But it's nuts. But he's playing some safety, too. So he's kind of that versatile player that they like.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Let's see. Josh in Jacksonville says, is Michael Felger in today? I really need to hear Felger versus Fred again this week. That was the best, hearing Felger jump down Fred's throat. Fred, I'm glad you held your ground against him. Good job, and can't wait to hear it again. I guess he is coming in at
the
1 o'clock hour. I don't know either. We're just
kind of has his own schedule, so
we're just here. What's going on, Jason?
I think he'll be in around 1.
1 o'clock. Okay.
I can't
Patriots
hear
Friday.
You know,
only on ESPN.
Do you know
Radio.
Any guests it'll have? Do you know who he'll be interviewing?
I don't.
No? But that's kind of cool if you weren't
hey,
here
Jason,
last week.
My headphones, something's wrong. I can't hear you. I got nothing going on here.
Really?
Yeah, something's wrong.
Okay. Well, why don't you maybe switch headphones? Maybe check that out. So if our listeners weren't here last week, the change to the lineup on PFW in Progress is that on Thursdays from 1 to 2, we do our NFL picks. And now on Fridays from 1 to 2, Mike Felger from the Boston Herald and ESPN Radio joins us. Because he does interviews with players. He tapes them during our show. And then you can hear them on his show, Patriots Friday, from 4 to 7 on 890 ESPN Radio in Boston or on Patriots.com as part of our Friday lineup. So it's pretty cool. You get to hear the interview that he does with the player before the rest of the world hears it on the radio. So a little extra bonus for Patriots.com radio fan. And are you hearing it now?
Yeah, now I'm all right.
So maybe the battery wore out with those.
Yeah, something happened.
We have these beautiful Bose Q3 headphones. These are the new generation headphones that Bose just came out with. They're really nice.
These are great.
Yeah. The only problem is they have a battery in them. So you have to turn off your headphone after you're done with the show.
Recharge that now? When you're done, you recharge the battery? Or
don't recharge.
Oh, you just get a new one?
Yeah.
No, they're rechargeable.
They are?
I figured.
How do you recharge them? Huh? You gotta talk. People can't see that.
It has a little plug.
Oh.
You plug the battery into it, and then plug the charger into the wall.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's new. The other quiet comfort ones have just normal batteries. You just put
like
in.
You said, you have the new generation, this courtesy
new generation.
Of Bose.
Can I get these for, like, my Walkman?
You can if you want. Sure.
Now, are these are pricey, though.
I think they're, like, $300.
Wow.
Over $300.
You're kidding me.
No.
But Bose, being such a loyal partner of ours, they said, you know what? We want the PFW crew to sit down here in comfort.
That's great.
That was nice of them.
No,
I thought you were going to say $70, and I was going to think about buying them. $300.
Yeah.
No way.
Okay. Yeah.
Very nice headphones.
Yeah,
though.
They are nice. And yes, for music, it's especially nice because you get the rich bass in there. If you're on the plane and all that talking and chatter, you don't have to listen to
apparently
BCN Fred
has
guys
spent the $300
cards.
For the Bose headphones.
Oh, no. I haven't bought these headphones. My wife has a pair of the old ones, but I don't use them. So, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Let's see. PJ writes in, yesterday during the weekly picks, Paul was all over Fred, talking about how great Byron Leftwich is playing right now. He's thrown for 240 yards and 260 yards and has one TD pass and two interceptions. If you want to say that judging a QB has nothing to do with stats, that's fine. But one telling stat of a QB is TD interception ratio. Leftwich is off to an okay start, just like Brady is, even though they're both 2-0.
Well, and Paul has already rebutted. He told me before I went down what his rebuttal is.
What?
Leftwich has played two of the best defenses in the NFL, and Brady has played two of the worst.
Well, you know, I mean, sometimes Paul...
Oh my God!
He uses his stats, and you can just see that Leftwich isn't one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. If you can't just see that, then you're crazy.
Well, I certainly wouldn't put him in the class with Manning and those guys.
No, but you know, Paul was very moody yesterday. He was upset, and I think the problem is he's mad because he went to that EEI Sunday morning.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
I think he regrets that decision. I think he wish he was back with BCN.
Why?
Because he has to get up early. You know, he's got one guy on the phone. He's on the phone for an away game, talking to a studio. It's not as good as the BCN show.
Oh, I see.
You know, so I think he's regretting that.
Okay.
So he's jealous of us. You know, and all his TV and radio stuff. It's too much pressure for him.
He has too much on his plate.
The pressure's getting to him. that's what I think. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? Emails are slow today.
Are they?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe Felger's driving everybody away.
That could be. But as I mentioned earlier, it looks like we're going to have Fred Gadelli, who's the producer of Sunday Night Football, with us a little later in the show. What questions would you ask him?
Well, I'm interested, and he's already admitted this. He did not create the first down line that we now see on TV,
right.
But he helped implement it into the networks. And I can't even remember watching football where that line wasn't there. That thing was one of the best inventions of all time.
No, it's a great.
And to his credit, people mistakenly think that he came up with it, and he sets the record straight. It was not him.
Well, I think it was a company called Sport Vision.
Sport Vision, that's
yeah.
what he said.
Yeah.
And but he did help implement it, and I'd like to talk to him about that, like where'd the idea come from, because it's pretty accurate. You know, they always say, well, the line isn't, but it's pretty close. I mean,
no, it is.
It's pretty close.
And I think it's helpful.
Yeah, very helpful.
You know, some broadcasts now also do the line of scrimmage in blue.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do that in blue and
right.
the first down marker in yellow.
When you're watching it on TV and it's like third and 15, sometimes 15 yards is hard. Like if a guy catches a six-yard pass, it's kind of hard to tell how much further he has to go.
Right.
And it's very helpful watching the game on TV.
So, and I'm interested to know, you know, last year he was with ABC and he's been with ESPN.
And did ESPN make him, you know, was
yeah.
that an option?
Yeah. I mean, he's been with ESPN since 1982. So all of a sudden, NBC gets the Sunday night game. ESPN takes over Monday night. And it seems like the whole NBC crew, I mean, ABC crew went to NBC. So how does that work?
Yeah.
You know, like, did they just do a swap? Did they buy him out? Did NBC buy him out? You know, because Madden and Al Michaels was with
right.
ABC,
too.
And now all of a sudden they're just on NBC.
That wasn't originally the case. Michaels was supposed to be with ESPN, right?
Right.
And then he went to...
Right.
All right.
He probably made the smart move.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the Sunday night so far, so good. The production's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure I like the in-booth visits. That type of thing.
I hate that stuff when you're watching.
And they're doing a thing with Chris Collinsworth where they'll do a split screen
yeah.
and talk to him back in the studio.
They're
not sure that's necessary.
They're in a 6-0 game that where one play could, you know what I mean? Like, we're not talking, I understand when it, like the college game last night was a blowout for most of the way, and they kind of brought Mark May in to talk about this weekend's games. They were just trying to, like, you know, add something to the broadcast because it was a snoozer. But were you watching Jacksonville and, in Pittsburgh, that was a Sunday night game, right? Or was it,
right.
Oh, that was a Monday night game. Was it Monday? What were the Sunday night games? Yeah, no, it was. The Sunday night games were Pittsburgh and Miami. And what was the second one?
Washington?
Washington and Dallas.
Right, right.
Washington and Dallas. Yeah, and they're bringing Chris Collinsworth in there. They're taking away from the game. You got fans watching who are very interested in it, and I'm totally in agreement with you. I hate the Collinsworth, the Booth stuff. It just makes no sense.
Okay, now I forgot what I was going to say. All right. Let's see. Scott in Washington writes in. He says, I have been rooting for Chad Scott to do well ever since Belichick gave him such a glowing report when he first joined the team. Belichick really praised the guy, saying how great he is to coach. Chad hasn't really shown that much on the field, but I like him. And as for that hit on Cotchery, that was a fluke that Cotchery didn't hit the ground. Just one of the things I don't blame Chad Scott for. Second, I missed your picks yesterday for the Denver-New England game. Could you just give me the quick recap on who picked which team to win and why? I think we all picked the Patriots.
We all picked the Patriots.
I think myself, Andy, and Tom think it's going to be a fairly
easy win.
Easy win.
Paul thinks it's going to be 24-13, or he said something along those lines, but the Patriots may score in the fourth quarter to separate themselves, and it'll be close for three quarters.
Right.
The rest of us think the Patriots will be in relative
control.
That's
kind of the opposite of last week. I think I thought that the Jets would be close. Paul thought it would be an easy win. But I just have a feeling. I don't think that this is the Denver team of last year. Jake Plummer's under a little bit of fire. The running game is still...
Now, you could make the argument that the Patriots aren't playing well. And I got to be honest, if this game was in Denver, my pick may go the other way. But being here in New England with the Broncos playing the way they are, you got to give advantage Patriots.
Yeah,
here.
I think so.
Plus the revenge thing. They're going to be ready to play. I think they're going to come out with some new things that we haven't seen yet.
Right. I mean, the reason why the Patriots win this game, in a comfortable fashion, we may not know exactly why, but by the end of the game, something will emerge that, you know, whether they just completely shut down the Denver running game.
I was going to say, one of the reasons I think is because of Vince Wilfork and the way he's playing in that middle. He can barely hand the ball off. As soon as the guy gets it, Wilfork's all over him. The guy's an animal. I mean, Richard Seymour gets all the publicity, but Wilfork is turning into a dominant player in his own right.
Okay. I remember what I was thinking about before. If you have any questions that you'd like to ask Fred Gadelli, get him in there now. So that I have him in my...
I know a lot of people don't like the opening song.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Maybe you want to email in a question about that, how they decided it. Because the original song is phenomenal by Joan Jett. But I don't know. It's such an obscure Joan... Like, you know what I mean? It's not like I Love Rock and Roll, like is a huge Joan... This is more of an obscure Joan Jett song. And they took it and they made it... You know, they changed the words, but they made it the theme song for Sunday Night Football. That's maybe I'll ask. I'd like to know how that came about.
Okay. Craig is from Ithaca. He says, so
best
far...
Best place on earth. Ithaca, New York.
Is that right?
Yep. Most fun I've ever had.
My wife went to Ithaca College.
So did my friend. I used to get drunk there many a night.
Okay. So far, two games, zero penalties for rookie right tackle Ryan O'Callaghan. He doesn't get many accolades, but I think he's a great success story.
Well, what are we talking about?
Ryan O'Callaghan.
Well, he was all Pac-10 lineman.
I mean, he was supposed to be good.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a David Givens kind of success story. The reason he slipped in the draft was because of personal things. He had a little attitude problem while he was in college. His coaches admitted that to Andy, that he didn't always work as hard as he could and got by just on physical ability. Obviously, when you come to New England, you better be ready to work or you won't be here long. So it looks like they've changed that mental part of his game around. And now, like I said before, he could probably end up being one of their best, if not the best, offensive linemen on the team.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get to more of your emails here on PFW in Progress.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard... A little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. We live these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good,
it is good.
How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's gonna be shot. Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Let's go!
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right, Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, Brett Kirsch and Tom Casale on a Friday. And open locker rooms at 1:30. Injury report, the latest injury report comes out at around 4:15. So check Patriots.com out for that, as well as if you want to listen to the archive of today's Bill Belichick press conference. Patriots Today will have a new show tonight. You can watch that. A lot of stuff going on at Patriots.com. Bulletin boards heating up. A lot of Broncos fans come on, try to cause trouble.
Do they?
On the bulletin board, yeah. But that's okay. Broncos fans aren't that bad. The worst fans for that type of stuff, Pittsburgh's terrible.
Are they?
No, they're just awful. They come in and I guess they call it trolling, I guess.
Yeah,
is what they call
trolls.
It. Yeah. What are some of the other bulletin boards saying? I know that you frequent some of the other ones. The ones that are not on Patriots.com. What are fans saying?
What do you mean, about the game?
Yeah, about the game coming up. And
A lot of Patriots fans are more nervous about this game than I thought. I mean, I even got yelled at for predicting such a big win on SPFW. I think it's because of their lack of success against the Broncos in general. But I would say that a lot of those games were played in Denver, where they never lose, let's be honest. And it's a different Broncos team this year. They're struggling. Bill and everyone else can say, well, they did this last year. But then Bill will tell you that last year was last year.
Right.
And I agree with that theory more than anything else. Last year was last year.
Right.
I don't care what they did
last
year.
See, I like the fact that, you know, Belichick will refer to last year's game against the Broncos because they lost.
Right.
You know, we didn't play good that last year. So he'll use that as an example. But if they had won
they
wouldn't
want
to hear about it.
It doesn't matter. It was
right.
last year.
Right. So.
But I just think, I think the Patriots' problems early in the season are correctable problems that through practice and good coaching will be corrected in the coming weeks. The Broncos' problem is I think they have a mentally weak quarterback right now, and that doesn't change unless you make a switch at the position.
And even if you make a switch at the position,
it's
now you're talking about a rookie from Vanderbilt.
Right.
You know?
But I'm just saying that problem is going to be on the field until you take him off the field, and he's going to be there Sunday, and I just think this is the end. I've never been a fan of Jake Plummer's. I think Shanahan has done a great coaching job by getting the most that he could out of him, but at some point that runs out, and its lack of talent takes over, and I think this is what you're seeing.
Let's see. Zeus from Rancho Mirage, Florida, California, wants to know who the strongest Patriot is as far as weight room, as the weight room.
Do they release that information?
No.
Okay. I will take a guess and say that Vince Wilfork is probably in that discussion.
I know pound for pound, Troy Brown's very strong. Well,
Troy Brown is
and
a
obviously
strong
obviously he's
guy.
Not putting up the type of weight.
Right.
But pound for pound, he's probably one of the strongest guys on the team.
Mm-hmm. See, when it comes to weights, I don't know about Watson because he has long arms. So his bench press might not be as much as other people's, but I imagine I would say if I had to say the strongest overall guy in the locker room is probably Mike Wright.
Yeah.
I think Mike Wright's probably the strongest if I had to take a guess.
Okay. Well, maybe we can find that out sometime. Let's see. Gabe from Trevose, Pennsylvania says, just tuning in, I'm not sure if you touched on this, but I heard Patrick Pass showed up in the locker room wearing an 83 skull cap. I also heard a rumor that he's going to get a big payday from the Jets if he comes off PUP and is cut by the Pats. I wonder how much truth is behind any of this crap.
Well, the skull cap is true. That's true. The payday with the Jets, I have not heard of that, and I don't know.
So does that mean, like, Deion Branch is on his mind?
I think, well, he definitely made some kind of statement with it. You don't mistakenly wear an 83 skull cap when Deion Branch just gets traded. That's
right.
Not a coincidence.
Right.
So he was one of the guys that was outspoken when it first happened, said it was like a funeral in the locker room. And maybe he knows his time is done here and he doesn't care what Bill thinks.
Right. Well, did you hear the stuff that Cedric Cobbs was spewing about, you know, the Patriots and how you never know what's going on there. You know, that, but, see, the point is with that is, you know, media likes to make a big deal about it. Like, this guy's saying it so everybody thinks that way. Well, it's the guy that got cut by the team, you know. So he probably has a higher opinion of himself than the Patriots did. And he can't get over that.
Yeah, I don't really take much stock in the Cobbs. He's a guy who has phenomenal physical ability, who refuses for some reason to get the mental aspect of the game down. And I don't know, a guy who doesn't see the field and isn't playing, to me, shut up until you get on the field. You got more things to worry about than the way the Patriots treated you, because you're not getting any playing time in Denver.
Right.
So what, is Mike Shanahan being unfair to you too? Listen, they're looking for a running back. You have a chance, you know. Well, come, you're not on the field.
Yep. Rodney in Roberson, North Carolina. A question off topic, if I may. Is there a collection of the Pats commercials over the last couple of years, both local and national, for sale? If not, pass the message to a marketing advisor, because I felt as if this would be a great keepsake on DVD for the future. I especially love the Not in Our House.
Not in our house, buddy. Not today.
Oh, no.
Not tomorrow.
Our Not in Our House Visa spot, and I would love to show my kids the highlight of the great Patriots run, along with my three Games to Glory discs as well. Keep up the good work. Well, you know, I don't know. My answer to that would be, you know, you got TiVo. Next time it comes on, tape it.
Yeah, I don't know if that would be a real big seller.
Yeah, I don't think so. But, you know, it's interesting. You know, if because these commercials are getting better and better. There's been some really good commercials lately that I really like. I love that Gatorade commercial with the little kids and the big
heads.
Oh,
that's great. Yeah.
I love that commercial.
Well, you could make a three-disc set on Peyton Manning's commercial.
Yeah.
I need more
cumin. And I don't think it would be that bad an idea if the NFL, you know, did a deal with these sponsors and came out with a DVD of the best Super Bowl commercials of all time.
That would be a good idea.
I think
idea.
That would be cool to have.
They do the countdowns, but, you know, this would be a good thing to have on DVD.
Yeah,
definitely.
The best of all time, and, you know.
Maybe, like, the best and worst. Like, have, like, some of the worst ones that, you know, were just awful. But what are the best? The horses? That was a good one.
That was a good one. I love the FedEx one that they introduced last year with the cavemen.
Yeah,
that was
I know
funny.
You like that
Not
one.
Not my problem.
The most famous one, of course, is the Apple.
Yeah, the 1984 one. Yeah. So
the Bird Jordan one.
Yeah, that was excellent. So there might be a market for that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Or you know what you do? Before the game, instead of 6 hours of pregame dribble, you do a half-hour show about the best commercials of all time, showing the commercials.
You can do that.
Do a countdown. You know?
You're never going to get rid of that six-hour dribble, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have 5.5 hours now.
Yeah.
You know. Let's see. Mike writes in, last week against the Jets, the Patriots offense ran very few, if any, screens or short routes to the running backs out of the backfield. You guys think that was intentional to have the aspect of the game not used so it could be exploited against the blitzing D of the Broncos? Or is it more about the Jets' defensive scheme? Also, has Garrett Mills played at all this season? I think his catching skills could be utilized this week. And finally, I watched the Georgia Tech game last night, and that Calvin Johnson is awesome. 6'6 with a 45-inch vertical and blazing speed, great hands. I wouldn't mind seeing him in a Pats uniform next year.
Well, let me address that one first. I heard about Calvin Johnson because so many teams were interested in getting him, and he ended up going to Georgia Tech. Now, this guy, the best receiver in college football since Randy Moss. I'm telling you people right now, when it comes draft day, and I know you want the white guy from Notre Dame, do not put him in Calvin Johnson's class. I'm just telling you right now because he's not in his class. Calvin Johnson is unstoppable. Not only that, he's an A student. He's a great person. He's got no character flaws whatsoever. He cannot be stopped. He's playing with a joke quarterback over there at Georgia Tech. If you ever gave Tom Brady Calvin Johnson with Maroney and Watson and Chad Jackson, Josh Miller would be out of a job because the only time they wouldn't score is if they fumbled or the other team picked it off.
Top five pick.
Yeah, you'd have to trade up. You'd have to. The Patriots probably don't. Bill always says this too. You don't always have enough ammunition to get up where you want to get up to. So the chances of him becoming a Patriot, even with 2 first-round draft picks, you'd have to hope that the Seahawks tanked this year and one of them was in the top 10. I would be my guess. I think you're right with the screens. I think you will see a lot of them this week against the aggressive Broncos defense. The Jets, and maybe Bill knew this from coaching with Mangini, barely blitzed at all. I was expecting to see, you know, guys coming from the outside. I was even watching some of the game over on the NFL Network, and they didn't do hardly any blitzing. So maybe they knew that, and that wasn't why it was a big part of their offense.
Okay.
Mills has not played yet this year.
Question I would have, you know, maybe you can answer it. But I wonder what the Patriots' fallback play is or option is on a screen that on a play that's set up to be a screen, and instead of biting, the defense stays home.
I think it's throwing the ball on the ground.
Really?
Because what happens on that is that the entire defense doesn't stay home. Maybe one guy or two guys do, but the other guys you let free are still coming after you, so
right.
The quarterback's still backpedaling,
right.
So he has to throw the ball away. A blown-up screen, I don't think you might get a 0.5% that it's worked some
right.
other way. I think
right.
it just gets blown up.
Yep. Okay. So let's look for some screens this week against that, you know, aggressive D.
If the Patriots get Calvin Johnson, they'll win 5 more Super Bowls.
Wow.
With Tom Brady throwing him the ball, if Chad Jackson develops, they got the best running back in football with Lawrence Maroney, they'd be unstoppable.
Sheriff has spoken. Chris writes in, how was Rodney Harris? How has he been playing? Haven't seen him flying into the pile during running plays like he used to. Well, you know what? Good, because it doesn't mean anything when
right.
he does that.
He's been very, I don't want to say limited, he's been very restrained. Like, he hasn't gone overly done. He tried to run down Kotchery, which he wouldn't have any chance.
Oh, he had no chance.
Even if he was fully healthy, because he's just not as fast as him. But he did make an attempt there. He hasn't been around the ball as much, you're right. At some points, we were saying in the press box, you know, is Harrison in the game, because we haven't heard his name. But I think it's good that they're 2-0. They played two offenses that weren't dynamic. They got him out on the field. The big test for me will come next week when you get the 4 or 5 receiver sets from Cincinnati.
Yep.
How is he going to hold up in that coverage against those guys?
Pats, you know, that might be a game I pick against the Patriots, Tom.
That's the last one for me. After that, it's all Patriots.
Might be. Pats fan in San Fran, sounds like a slow email day, so I'll get something that's been bugging me off my chest. What does Jonathan Smith give the Pats that Bam Childers doesn't? I just don't understand why the Pats prefer Smith on the active roster when the two players similar in size and skill, as far as I know, and Childers has 2 productive preseasons in the system. I know the 53rd man on the roster isn't exactly a burning issue, but can you shed some light on this for me?
Well, the one problem I have with the email is the 2 productive seasons in the system. What has he done?
Preseasons, yeah.
I mean, you know, listen, this is the way I see it. We saw Bam Childress play this preseason, and he looked pretty good. Would you agree, Fred?
Yeah, he looked really
okay,
good.
Okay, now, did he look good last preseason? I wasn't here.
Okay.
Okay, so there's a
reason. Not as good as this year.
But there must be a reason why he's not on this active roster. Because if you look good in preseason and you supposedly practice well, there's got to be a reason why Bill doesn't want him on this roster that we don't know. You know what I mean? Like, he's obviously going to put the best 53 men that he believes gives the team a chance to win. The fans love Bam Childress. I agree with Paul. I think he's one of those guys that people fall in love with because he's a little guy. He caught, 12 passes in college? I just think Patriot fans are used to the Brady Givens, Fenateri kind of stories that they fall in love with these Mike Wright.
Well, Smith is a returner too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but they're saying that Childress is better. But I
don't know.
I just think they fall in love with these kind of stories. I think he's a marginal NFL player. They must see something else in Smith. Like you said, maybe he's better overall in special teams. If they were in a pinch, if two receivers went down, maybe they feel Jonathan Smith gives them better options than Bam Childress. It's obviously something that Bill feels strongly about because they made about six moves back and forth, and Smith is still the one on the roster.
All right. Dave Rosenthal writes in. Says he was reading. Oh, he's from the Philippines, by the way.
Okay.
I was reading on NFL.com earlier tonight, and I saw Indy's injury report at 22 players listed. I can recall the Pats having plenty of injuries in the last few years, but 22 out of 53, and that's the team rated number one in at least one set of power ratings, CBS Sportsline. That same ratings page had the Pats as number two, by the way. One of Indy's players, Freeney, if memory serves me, was listed as questionable buttocks. Any idea how that happened? Maybe he got
spanked. None of those guys are hurt.
Yeah.
Most of them aren't. I shouldn't say none because I know their guard is hurt. But I'll tell you what's going on here, Fred, and I know you're going to agree with me 100%. This is Bill Polian being Bill Polian and trying to do the same thing to the Patriots that the Patriots do to the league. That's all this is. Because the Colts never did this before. Now all of a sudden they're releasing injury reports with 20 guys on there, and then on game day one of the 20 doesn't play. That's Bill Polian just being his idiot self.
Anyway, I'm really looking forward to this one this week as I will finally be able to see a game on TV. We don't get that many here. At least we have a great website to listen to almost every day. Keep up the great work. And that, again, is David Rosenthal. So thank you, David. And so I guess this game's going to be televised in the Philippines. It's also going to be televised in China.
Oh, interesting.
So it's going to be interesting.
So communist countries get American football, huh?
Well, we're just trying to infiltrate the democratic system there, and it takes time, Tom, to get that going.
No chance that they're trying to let us get our guard down so when they bomb us, we won't expect it?
No, that's not what China does. They don't do that. Josh in Jacksonville. Since it's a slow email day, question not football related, do you have certain times you have to take breaks or you just take breaks when you want? I've noticed that sometimes you'll take a break 15 minutes into the show or sometimes an hour. Just wondering.
Jeez, I gotta take a leak so bad I can taste it.
Yes. A lot of times our breaks are bathroom related.
Fred takes a break whenever he wants to.
Sometimes we take them on the 20s. We do have some sponsors, right?
20s.
So no one tells us that we have to take a break at a certain time, so I just take them whenever. And, if that's a problem with you, then you should let me know what you're looking for as far as breaks, and maybe we can accommodate you. We've done shows 2 hours without a break. It just happens sometimes. You just get going.
This is Andre Tippin. That's not what we're looking for.
Right. Sometimes Paul's down here and he gets on one of his rants.
Tippett walked by me today and asked how my cycle was doing.
Your cycle?
Meaning my steroid cycle.
Oh.
Can you believe that, taking a cheap shot like that?
Wow, yeah. He came in the other day. He was like, wow, you're a big guy. Yeah?
He's been on my butt lately.
Huh? Well, just don't let him get mad at you.
Huh? So don't come in wearing a Lawrence Taylor jersey.
No. I never thought it was fair that a guy Andre Tippett's size and strength needed to have a fifth degree black belt.
I think that should be illegal.
Yeah. All right. Let's see.
You got Andy. Have you ever seen the tapes
of what
of him?
No.
Andy's either has them or seen them. He says he's got to show them to me. He said it's just a. Devastating,
really?
What he can do. So I
just a tape of him just screwing people up.
Just murdering people.
It's like Kramer on Seinfeld.
Yeah,
with the kids.
Playing with the kids. Yeah,
at his dojo. Lou is from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I always enjoy your show. I was born and raised in Quincy, Mass., home of Dunkin' Donuts. Anyway, your show really keeps me in the loop as I have had Pat's fever all my life. I'm 43 and have, like you, have seen the good with the bad. Right now, Brady looks very frustrated, and I'd like to see behind closed doors his feelings on Givens and Branch leaving. He must be really pissed. Okay? They need to keep one or the other, and I think Tom is always humble and too diplomatic, and sometimes he should just let his feelings fly. At times he needs to be like a Big Ben. He'll tell reporters to just get the heck out of his locker. Of course, we don't need Tom Brady to ride a motorcycle without a helmet. The bottom line is the Pats will do okay, but another Super Bowl run? Maybe they'll surprise everyone. It's only their second game, and I think they'll win their games with the running game, so expect more games like the Pittsburgh last year, close and running out the clock like they did with the Jets. I'm very excited to have Tom hand the ball off more. Why is everyone so frustrated? We have basically a new team. Just use our draft picks. They can be used to build another stronger defense for the future. I believe by the middle of the season, as long as the running game is intact and healthy, we'll have a good record.
Is that the same email? Because at first he said that they may make another Super Bowl run. Then he said, why is everyone so frustrated?
I think he's questioning people thinking they should make one.
For me, Fred, you know how like when we're putting out the paper and you never worry about me because you know my stuff will get done and you have to worry about Paul and Andy instead? That's how I feel about Brady. You know, I'm kind of like the Brady of PFW. I have no worries about Tom Brady. I got other things to worry about. Right. You know, I got the Pauls and Andys of the Patriots to worry about. The Tom Casale, Tom Brady, he's okay. You don't got to worry about him.
Lou goes on to say, I think all need to be reminded that in the first Super Bowl, we had David Patton and Troy Brown as our wide receivers, not noted in the league at that time as prime targets. The Patriots had Givens and Branch for firepower. I was at the Pittsburgh championship game twice in Pittsburgh, and I saw two different teams with two different winning efforts. One victory was with special teams and limited passing. The other game in Pittsburgh was with passing, and they shocked the Steelers twice. Now, the running game will replace all that firepower, and our receivers will get by just fine. They only need to get by. Finally, we need more screens with Maroney and Falk in place of the short pass on Sunday, and we'll walk all over Denver.
Okay, Fred, let me ask you a question. How many Super Bowls did that Bears team win?
Which Bears team?
In the 80s.
Well, one.
Okay, how many did the Ravens win?
One.
Okay. You know why? Because those type of defenses only come around once in a lifetime. The years those teams, they weren't even nearly as dominant, though. Those two defenses were so dominant that those offenses could do nothing, and they still won the Super Bowl. I'm just mentioning this because I need Patriot fans to stop referring to 2001. So many things happened for the Patriots that year to help them win the Super Bowl that it'll never be that way again. It was just an amazing run of all these alignments coming together, including a Mike Martz coach team in the Super Bowl where Belichick is just smarter and outcoached a team with much more talent than the Patriots had.
Right.
So when you're referring back to the past, 2001 isn't a very good measuring stick because that was a special team that a lot of things happened for. So I just don't say, well, we had Patton and blah, blah, blah. It's not going to happen that way again. How many block kicks are you going to get for touchdowns? How many, you know, they only had 10 interceptions last year. They're not creating turnovers like they used to back then. It was a different time, different team.
Let's see. Brian writes in, I don't think this is going to be an easy game for the Pats. The Broncos are a hard-hitting team with really good linebackers and a strong secondary. The running game will test the front seven, and the passing game is good if Plummer is decent. Don't get me wrong, I live out here in Donkey Land and had to suffer through the two losses last year. The playoff debacle was particularly frustrating. It is embarrassing when you have to fall back on the ref sucked and the Pats gave it away excuses. I see a 3-7 point game that could go either way. If Brady has another bad game, I doubt we will win. Because I can't tolerate another loss, Pats 23, Hee-Haws 20. Oh, and I enjoy the shows except for the EEI crew. They sound like preschoolers with deep voices.
Who's that?
I guess Patriots Monday,
oh,
maybe?
Oh, I thought he was talking about us.
No, we're not EEI.
Well, I thought he was making a reference.
Oh.
Like there was one of the two our EEI crew is what I thought he meant. Okay. They actually have the Patriot Jet game on right now. They're re-showing on NFL Network. And I just watched the first run of the game by Corey Dillon. I just tell you, if that was Maroney, he's still been running.
Yeah.
He broke two tackles, but he couldn't get to that outside. See, look at that. See it, Fred?
Yeah.
Just see it.
Yeah, he kind of stops and puts his hand out. And he doesn't lower his shoulder.
That's what I'm saying. Let's get this guy in that Jerome Bettis. The defense is tired. Here I come. Like at the end of
the
game.
At the end of the game.
Where Kerry Rhodes took one in the chops from Dillon. That's what I want to see from Dillon.
Yeah. But it is interesting. They are replaying as we speak the Jets-Patriots game from Sunday on NFL Network. By the way, you got to get NFL Network. If you don't have it on your cable
system. Yeah, but it's not
their
fault.
No, I'm just saying, if you don't have it on your cable system, write to your cable
company.
Yes,
everybody, please, because you know what? That's a good point, Fred, because they're not starting to show games until later in the year, and I don't think it's hitting people that in some areas where you live, you're not getting the games. And while the Patriots might not be on there, maybe the Dolphins are on there, and they're tied for first place with the Patriots, and you want to watch the game. Because I know my parents, I just had to tell them that there's a Giants game in New York that they won't be watching, because it's on NFL Network. And
well, no, they will, because if it's in the local... The local station still gets to carry it.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Even if you're not in New York City?
Oh, I don't know what the radius is.
See,
maybe upstate you may not get it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're upstate.
Yeah, they may not get it.
And my father's a big Giant fan.
They may not get it.
Listen, I'll tell you right now. I know no cable companies are listening to this show, but you're going to have to get it sooner or later. When they show live NFL football games, you cannot live without that on your cable package.
You can't not have it.
Just get it.
Yeah. All right, Amir writes in. He says, this week on Patriots Today, the great Steve Grogan raised the issue about Brady's injury being listed. Now, I asked you guys the same question last week, and you said that it was just Bill tweaking the system. Do you guys know any more about this? Been listed for the last 2 years.
I don't know. Grogan.
Well, you were there. You were with him.
I asked Grogan specifically if he saw anything in Brady that would, you know, lead to him to believe that he was injured. And Grogan said he has not seen anything in his delivery or the way he's throwing the ball that would suggest that he's injured any more than he's ever been.
Right. Amir goes on to talk about Brady. He says he's not the type of quarterback that needs to play great to help his team win. Brash statement, but here's why. He is a smart player that knows how to involve the rest of the team in the offense. He does not need to complete the go pattern or make great passes, but he usually does. His intelligence allows him to manage the offense well enough. Fortunately, we have a decent O-line. Last year against Denver, Tom was in some discomfort, maybe pain, not the least of which was pain from their blitz. The O-line was in tatters, so no quarterback could have beaten Denver with no line and no running game. The blitz also neutralized his game management because I don't think even Joe Montana could have kept his head in that environment. On a related note, I'm starting to get concerned about the O-line injury report that has Matt Light with a knee. And finally, he says, I think the wide receiver core and Brady will click this Sunday, and I think they have a good chance to win, especially if the running game keeps going. So, can't disagree with any of that.
No, not really.
Let's see. Emails are starting to fly in now, Tom.
No, they're waiting for Felger.
Anything going on in the
booth
yet?
I don't see anything.
No? Because we are waiting perhaps for not only Michael Felger, but perhaps Fred Godelli from
NBC.
NBC, and with our luck, he'll come in during John Rook's show.
Right.
Still on standby for Godelli.
We're still on standby? Okay. All right. Thanks, Jason. Jay from Hanson, you've already probably talked about this, and I don't understand what's going on with the situation, but do you think the Pats would be interested in Troy Vincent if he ends up getting cut from Buffalo? Also, what's going on with Eugene Wilson? He struggled last year, and it looks like it has carried over to this season.
I think the Patriots would be very interested in Troy Vincent. His game, he's always been a smart player. He's got the flexibility. He was a Pro Bowl corner. I don't think he went to the Pro Bowl as a safety. I'm not sure. I know he had one very, very good year. I don't know if he made the Pro Bowl or not, but he made that Rod Woodson kind of switch where he's not a liability as safety. His coverage skills actually help out there, kind of like Hawkins, where he's a good cover safety. If Troy Vincent is on the market and he's healthy, I think there's a good possibility the Patriots would be interested in him.
And I like the emailer. I don't know what's going on with that situation in Buffalo. You know, the whole thing, putting him on that, you know,
You know what I heard? because Troy Vincent is a good guy from everything I've always read. You know, like he's not a problem. He's the head of the
players.
I heard some people in Buffalo don't like that.
Yeah,
like they had some problems with him, and they want him out.
Yeah,
and that's I mean I don't know if it's a rumor or if it's true, but like you said, it doesn't make any sense because even if you want to go with the younger guys, he's a guy that can kind of mentor those guys as they develop and stuff. There's something fishy going on there, and that's why I think that's the kind of situation the Patriots usually swoop in and take advantage of. You got something that isn't football related going on in Buffalo. The guy's on the market. Boom. There's the Patriots. They take him. He can still play. Helps you win games.
Andre from West Hartford, Connecticut. Hey, Fred and company. I listen to your show while at work all the time. As part of my daily football sources, I check out coldhardfootballfacts.com. Those guys are great and insightful and use only facts and almost never use opinions. If you haven't already checked it out, it's a great site. And looking forward to the Bengals game. Who covers who? Chad Jackson and the other Bengals receivers. Keep up the great job, and sorry for not remembering the other guy's name.
It's Tom.
Tom. But coldhardfootballfacts.com, it is a good site.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
They get a lot of stuff on there. Mm-hmm. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I like it in a certain, you know, sometimes I like opinion. I want to hear people who, the fans always think that media members have an agenda, and there's probably one or two in each city that probably, you know, that do have an agenda. But for the most part, media people are looking at the team, they're giving you their thoughts. Now, if you think it's an agenda, fine, but it's usually just their opinion, and I like to hear that sometimes. But, yeah, it's a pretty good site.
Lou from Harrisburg, again, kind of rebutting what you said or just clarifying. You mentioned, you know, stop talking about 2001. He said, my only comment about the 2001 Patriots was that they were so different than the 2003-04 Pats, which
that's
means
true, yes.
We have a coach who will take what he has and win. Good point about 2001, but I'm not comparing the teams, just making a comment about our coach.
Oh, that's a good – he made a good point. Yeah, the Belichick is one of those coaches. He's like a chameleon. He'll – whatever he needs to do to win, he'll win. If he needs to throw it, he'll throw it. If he needs to run it, he'll run it. If he needs to blitz, he'll blitz. It doesn't matter.
And you made a good point. He went up against a coach who's the exact opposite in Mike Martz, who was so stubborn.
Stubborn, yep.
You know, he had to win his finesse way, where if he had just lined them up and maybe run Marshall Faulk
right.
a little bit more –
And
you know,
and the interesting thing is there is that Bill rolled the dice and said, I bet you he won't be that smart. He won't do it. And he was right. So yeah. he outsmarted him that way by knowing how stubborn Martz would be. And he knew that he would still rely on his passing game no matter what they did defensively. And he was right. And that's why they won.
Let's see. Sean from Marlborough, New Hampshire. I'm struggling this year to forgive Andy. Oh, he's trying to forgive Andy. I'm referring to last year's playoff game against Denver. I am not speechless very often, but what Andy said is still bothering me. When picking the game, Fred said he expected Jake to resort to his old ways. Andy stated he hoped not, since he was picking Denver. Being right was more important than having the team you work for win. I still can't get over it. Fred and Tom, help me let this go.
Andy is just a comedian. That's people. He's one of those guys that he just says things just to get a reaction from people. I think he was just joking when he said it. I don't remember the exact exchange, so I can't be positive, and I don't want to speak for him. But my guess is it was just a joke. He never shuts up. It's just the way he is.
And what I have to say about that, Sean, is don't let it go. Continue to be mad at Andy.
Well,
I
don't
am.
Mind that.
Yeah. No, I mean.
I am a loser.
I've often said I'd rather be wrong and have never mind.
Yeah, we get you.
Yeah, I always want the Patriots to win. I have, you know, contrary to some people's opinions or beliefs, I have picked against the Patriots when I honestly think they're going to lose the mm-hmm. game. But I'm happy to be wrong in those cases. In fact, I hope I'm wrong in those cases. You know, depending on how the Patriots play this week, if all of a sudden they just click on all cylinders offensively and shut down the Denver offense defensively, which I kind of expect. But if the offense explodes this week, I might change my opinion about
you're forgetting one very important thing.
What?
The Bengals play the Steelers. Now, what if they'll
be banged up?
No, but what if they bomb them? What if they beat them 35 to 10?
True.
Then all of a sudden you're saying, uh-oh.
As of today, If I had to pick that game, I'm going to pick the Bengals to win that game. It's in Cincinnati. You know,
they really, and I wrote this in the matchup things for other factors. The Bengals had three home games last year where they could have made a statement. Two against the Steelers. I know one, Palmer got hurt in the playoffs, but two against the Steelers and one against the Colts, and they were 0-3 in those games. They need that home win that says, here we are, we're the favorites, you're not. They didn't do that last year, and that's something that they have to go out and prove, because if the Patriots go in there and beat them, they're kind of like, well, they got a great offense, but, you know.
They're the Colts.
Yeah, they're the Colts.
You know, and the last time the Patriots played in Cincinnati, it wasn't a pushover. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati put some points on the board. That game was in question. And Cincinnati's a better team now than they were there.
See,
now, the Patriots obviously are a different team now than they were then as well. But it's not like, you know, the Patriots have been rolling over Cincinnati every year.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals are getting better. And this could be their year. You know? So I'm not so confident about the Patriots' defense yet against that type of offense.
What makes the Bengals so tough is with the edge now out of Indianapolis, they have the most well-balanced offense in the league.
Right.
They can pound you. They can throw it deep. They can throw it short. They can do so many different things. It makes them so hard to defend.
You put the Patriots' defense up right now against a one-dimensional offense, a team that can only do one thing really well, they'll shut them down. But against a balanced offense, they've had trouble
over the last two years. We need to see them shut that down. And like I said, shut them down means hold them to 21, 24 points. The Bengals are going to score. No one's going to hold the Bengals really to 6 points, probably. They're just too explosive. So, unless they stop themselves with stupid mistakes. If you can hold them to 21, 24 points and you score 27, 30, that's good enough for me. I'll take that.
Right. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Yo, I'm Diane.
And this is Elaine.
We're the twins, and you're listening to Patriots.com Radio.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
Gonna be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. And as promised, Fred Cadelli from NBC Sunday Night Football is with us. Fred, up to this year, was the producer of Monday Night Football for ABC. And now he takes over Sunday Night Football in America on NBC. And, Fred, thanks for joining us, by the way.
Well, it's great to be here.
Tell us how that worked, because I was just wondering, you were with ABC, and prior to that with ESPN since 1982?
Correct.
And How did that work? It seemed like the whole crew just moved over to NBC. Is that some like backroom deal that guys with cigars make, or you know, they sold your rights?
Well, it happened in stages. The first thing that happened is John Madden, Dick Ebersol signed John Madden before even the Monday night season started last year to work on the show this year, and then he went and got the director, Drew Esikoff. And that happened sometime during the summer. And then I got the job after a Monday night game in Baltimore in December. And then we had to coax Al along right after the Super Bowl. So it was a series of events, and it was just great that we could make this seamless transition.
Right. So how's it been going so far?
You know what? It's really exceeded every expectation I had, and I had high expectations. You know, Monday Night Football, when you're in TV, that's like the pinnacle of sports television. But it was clear that when this new deal got made that it wasn't really going to be Monday Night Football anymore, that the premier game wasn't going there. And so you want to be able to do the big games that we've been accustomed to doing. So coming to NBC, where they've really embraced it and are looking at football as the really the focal point to turning around the network, which has been in fourth place for the last few years. And Dick Ebersol is just a champ to work for. So far it's been great.
That's great. And this year, one of the new additions, I guess, to being the premier primetime game is the flexible schedule that'll happen in the
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah. I mean, that's something, you know, having done Monday Night Football for 5 years, we were really begging for, because I'll throw you a statistic. In the last 4 years, I think there were 12 December games. One of those games matched teams but that both had winning records. And last year, it just fell off the deep end. I mean, we had you guys the day after Christmas, but you were playing a Jet team that I think had two or three wins at that point. And that's pretty much the way it went in December. And the way the NFL is now, if you don't have it, it's tough to really have a strong schedule from start to finish.
Yep. So, go ahead.
Well, now, I know that you didn't invent it, mm-hmm. but you helped implement one of the greatest inventions of all time, the
yellow line.
First down line.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you can't watch an NFL game without that now. How did that come about, and what was that process like?
Well, you know, I was at ESPN at the time. I was doing Sunday Night Football for them, and a company came to us, and they made a tape, and they said, look, we can do this. We can put this line on the field. And when they made the tape, they had about like 10 lines on the field. And the first time I saw it, I was like, you know what, there's enough lines on a football field. I'm not sure this is really going to be something good. And then at the time, my boss said, hey, well, just think about it some more. So I said, you know what, well, it's worth a try. So then they wanted to develop a company called Sport Vision, and they're really the geniuses behind this. All I did was help implement it. And the first time I saw it in an offline test and a rehearsal test on an NFL game, that's when I said, hey, this is going to be great. You know, this is going to be terrific. And we tested throughout the preseason. I think it might have been 98 or 97. We tested throughout the preseason, a couple of regular season games. And, you know, once we put it in, like you said, it's hard to watch a football game now without it.
Not every innovation on TV is, you know, works well. Like, I'll give the blue hockey puck
in right.
it. But
right.
that's become a standard.
There's three great innovations in football. One was slow motion, right, because that really just took the game to a whole nother place, and that was done in the 60s, the first and 10 line. And I think the constant clock and score, because it's hard to watch a football game or any event now where the score isn't in there the entire time. And I'd say those three, probably the most meaningful of any innovations that we've had.
Yep. One of the things that every year the refs come and they visit each team and they right. give us the update on any change of rules of, points of emphasis. And one of them is the new change in the replay, that they're going to keep the clock going or they're going to go to a break and come back and not stop the game in the effort to just keep things going
right.
and to work on the length of the game. But we were talking, and the way we see it is the length of a football game was never an issue. That was more baseball, where they're worried about games extending too long.
Right.
Is there a problem? I never thought there was a problem with the length of football
games.
Well,
you know, I know on Monday Night Football, it was rare that we ever had a three-hour game. I mean, it was always over 3 hours, no matter what happened. And it wasn't because we're running any more commercials than anyone else. That's defined by the league, how much you can run. But it just seemed they were running over, and the replay. But the problem with replay was that the guy would get in there for 90 seconds, and then take 2 minutes to figure out, you know, what it is that he wanted to call. They've chopped 90 seconds to a minute.
Yeah.
And you know, we had the Giant Colt game. We had was under 3 hours. The Cowboy Redskin game last week was just, I think, a minute or two over 3 hours.
Okay. So that's pretty good. But as a football fan, you know, Monday Night Football, maybe that did last long. But I never have a problem with games. I'd rather have them go on longer.
Not as long as a college game, though, because to me, that's too long.
Well, they've actually changed that, too.
They're trying, right. Yeah, they're trying.
Yeah. Well, Fred, we appreciate you coming in.
Anytime,
guys. Anything special going on that the fans should know about Sunday night? Maybe some surprises, but we'll get into that later.
Two of the best teams in the league on NBC Sunday night. That's all they need to know.
There we go. All right, Fred Gadelli from NBC Sports and Sunday Night Football. We appreciate him coming. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Yo, I'm Diane.
And this is Elaine.
We're the Twins, and you're listening to Patriots.com Radio.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
And it is Patriots Friday here on 890 ESPN, the Mike Felger Show. We are joined by our regularly scheduled guest, Roosevelt Colvin, Patriots linebacker. Rosie, how are we doing today?
Doing pretty good. Just finished up the last day of practice, and hopefully our week of preparation will turn into, you know, more success on the field.
When you say more success, you're 2-0, Roosevelt.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say that that's successful?
Well, that's what I said, more success. See, we've been successful, so if you haven't been successful, then you would hope it turns into success. But since we've been successful, it turns into more success.
I get it. How do you view the last 2 weeks? How content, how satisfied are you over the level of play? Forget the wins and losses.
I think the first week being opening day, I think, you know, we'll take it. It's not the way you want to win games. But like I said, that week it built a little character. It helped us to find out some things about us as a football team. The second week we got off to a fast start. It was on the road, hostile environment. So that was very key and important. Also facing a new team. So that was sort of like opening day too, because you still have some things that you don't know of what they're going to throw at you. And, so I think we're nowhere near satisfied, nowhere near content. And I think what we are is a team that's trying to continue to work hard. And, you know, like I said, if we continue to do that and every guy tries to better themselves, then we'll become a better football team.
Yeah, you know, talking to some of the guys, I guess one of the themes from Bill early this week is sort of finishing plays, finishing games. Obviously didn't quite do that against the Jets. Mm-hmm. What do you think that's the result of? Is it just an early season thing, or?
I just think you get to a point in the game, especially what the situation in the game was. You know, you're up 24-0. You know, not necessarily any guy in particular, but sometimes, you know, you fall asleep at the switch. And then, you know, a guy relaxes for a second, or a guy thinks a guy's down, and that turns into what they had was a Chad tried to make a good tackle, a good hard hit on the guy, and he, you know, made a great play himself by staying up and then running to the end zone. In turn, you look at it again, Laviernus Coles does the same thing. They throw the ball down the sideline, a couple, you know, missed tackles here and there, and he scores. And then you know, the offense takes their turn at it, you know, let it cut a guy free and he comes through with the strip sack. And then the special teams took a turn at it. So, you know, you gotta make sure you're on your P's and Q's. And I think when you do things like that, it builds momentum for the other team, which it did, and it allowed them to get back in the game.
Well, that Koch replay, that's the one you're talking about where Chad Scott mm-hmm. tried to did level him.
Yep.
And he just didn't go down. Spectacular play from him, but almost a fluky thing, Rosie, where you could tell the stadium got up, the Jets got up, and the whole tide just turned on that play. And I don't want to say that you were blameless in it, but you've seen it a lot in football when just that tide gets going and a result of that play.
Right, and that's, you know, that's the dangerous part of, you know, being up on a team, because then you get to the point where you're not as cognizant of the little things, just tackling, blocking, making sure you know the snap count, or, you know, just taking a certain step so you can block that guy coming through on a field goal. So I think we have to continue to mature as players and as a team so that when we get in those situations, it turns out to be a 31-0 game instead of a 24-17 game.
And, you know, the other common thread in the first two games is that you haven't put 60 minutes together. At a good 30 minutes against the Bills, maybe even less than that, maybe a good 20 minutes. And then against the Jets, same thing. The last 20 minutes were bad. How close are you to putting 60 minutes together?
You know, we had to wait and see. You hope that it would come. I think right now the most important thing is that we're getting wins. And if you win more than you lose, hopefully you get an opportunity to get in the playoffs. And that's really when you want everything to come together. But we'd love to be that solid team right now. But, we got some things that we need to work on. And, you know, that's what practice is for. That's what, you know, going into the meetings, sitting down with the coaches and them critiquing us is about.
It's Roosevelt Colvin here on Patriots Friday, 890 ESPN. Mike Felger here. From what I also understand is that Bill showed you the tape of the Denver playoff loss early this week. Was that in its entirety, or was it just highlights or lowlights?
I think it's going to become into its entirety. I think he's trying to, you know, not necessarily dwelling on the past, but, you know, it's something that you can learn from, something that you can grow from. The things that they did in that game, you don't know if they will be the same or be similar, but it gives you something to see. Unlike opening day with, you know, the Bills with Dick Duron, you know, new head coach, you know, four preseason games is all you have to work on. So we have a little bit of history with the team. I think that can help us. It's not going to, you know, win us the ball game, but it can help us go out there and prepare and do some things a little bit better.
So you think the idea by showing you that is purely an X and O thing where you say this is how they schemed you here and adjusted to you there, et cetera, et cetera? Or could there be any part of it where he wants your blood to boil a little bit about you not making plays there and losing that game?
You know, I think Bill has his own kind of way of getting his point across. I think his point, you know, by showing us the game was to show us how it all, you know, came to what it was. And, you know, if guys can understand that, I mean, half the team wasn't even here then. So I think it was a little bit of a history lesson. I think the saying is if you don't study history, then it's bound to repeat itself. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's just an opportunity for us to see what's happened to us. Some of the guys watched the game, you know, after we had lost, and some of the guys hadn't. So, like I said, it is what it is. It was a loss out there last year, ended our season, two losses out there. So, you know, we got a lot of work to do.
Do you think you got beat by a better team that night?
Obviously, they made more plays. You know, people say, oh, well, they're the better team because their guys are faster or their guys are stronger. Well, who cares if your guys are faster? Who cares if your guys are stronger, if you're smarter? If you don't win the game, then you'll be a smart, fast guy at home. So, you know, they were the better team because they won the ball game.
You know, and I hear people say, well, if it wasn't for those four turnovers, maybe it was even five at the end of the day. If it wasn't for those five turnovers, well, the Patriots win the game. And it's like, I always thought, well, you can't take out those five. That's part of football. It's part of the game. And there had to be a bigger reason, Rosie, why you had those five turnovers.
Well, you know, you look at it on their part, they were making plays. They were doing things that they needed to do. And also on our part, we weren't doing the things like ball security. But, you know, you take out the five turnovers, would it be a different game? Yes, but you can't take out the five turnovers. It happened, it's done, and it's over. So our opportunity to, you know, go up against the Denver Broncos is this Sunday, and this is all we can control.
Why do you think you've had such a lack of success against this team? And it's not like you've lost the last eight, but you are 2-4 since Bill Belichick got here, since you've been here. Rosie, you were here in 03, but you were injured that game that they won on the Monday night, so you've never beaten this team.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have beaten everybody. What is it about Denver that makes it so tough?
I couldn't tell you. I think all the games have been out in Denver, so, you know, you have to, you're going into a hostile environment, so you have to prepare even that much more harder. You got
is there anything schematically, though, Rosie? I mean,
oh, schematically,
do you think their zone blocking scheme on offense just matches up well against the 3-4, or on offense the way that they use the perimeter in the boot game, does that have a more effect against you guys than other guys?
No, I think their record last year proved that they were good. It doesn't mean not just against us. They were good against everybody. They went, I believe it was 13-3 last season. So, you know, they had the opportunity to go to the AFC Championship, opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, and they didn't win. So, you know, it's not just like they're playing the Patriots every week and then they're beating us every week. They beat us when they had the opportunity and we didn't. So, I don't want to say it's the scheme. I don't want to say it's, you know, this and that. The situations that come up in the games, they're taking advantage of them, and we're not.
Roosevelt Colvin here on Patriots Friday. Talk about it as an outside backer. It is that boot game that they use is they've done it forever. You know, as long as Shanahan's been there, Elway, Greasy, Plummer, name the quarterback, Danny Cannell, for God's sakes, they're running that stuff, and it always seems to work. What? How difficult is it from your spot there to keep contained and not just want to lunge at those good running backs in that inside running game?
I think the key thing is definitely playing sound, disciplined defense. If it's your responsibility to have the boot, then you need to make sure you have the boot. You can't try to help out somebody else. And the thing that helps them out is their rushing attack is so good. You know, they run the ball so well that, okay, you go, then they're running the ball. So you try to commit to the run, and that's when they pop the boot out on you. And then, you know, you've overcommitted on the run, and now the quarterback's out there scrambling, doing what he wants to do. And then that puts the defensive backs in a bind because it's almost like a broken play. He's just standing out there waiting, and it's hard to cover guys 5-6 seconds, you know, at a time, guys that are running 4-3s and 4-4s. So, I think everybody has to be on top of their game, from the first guy to the 11th guy. You have to be where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing.
What do you think of Shanahan? Can you sense his skill out there when you're playing the game? Can you sense what he's trying to do to you?
Not really. I've never met him before, never had a chance to sit down and talk to him. So, for me to talk about, you know, how he is or his play calling, this and that, honestly, I just go out there and try to play the game. I think you can get a feel for how some coaches coach, or if they're a script team, you know, this and that. But it doesn't really come to mind for me.
I mean, I must imagine that there are quarterbacks who are out there going against the Bill Belichick defense, and they must say to themselves, okay, this is what he's trying to do to me. This is how he's trying to attack me. I bet it becomes pretty clear. You're saying that doesn't happen with Shanahan?
Well, I think it's clear that they're a zone running scheme team and they're a move the pocket passing team. Other than that, you know, I can't really comment on much more because, like I said, I don't really know the guy personally. So, okay, yeah, he's an offensive-minded coach. Those are some general things about him, but you know, I think anybody can say that just looking at who, you know, the team and their production and what they've done in the past.
What about their cut blocking? Now, I think it was 0-1 where Brian Cox said he was going to kill. I forget who it was, the center. Nalen, I forget. He was going to kill somebody after he got cut and his leg was fractured. What do you think about the way they cut block?
I think, you know, it's a part of football. I think they've tried to adjust the rules so, you know, people aren't getting hurt, not just quarterbacks, but interior linemen, helpless receivers, punt returners. So I think the game is evolving to the point where, you know, everybody's just playing with the rules that they're given. You know, a few years ago after we played the Colts, they went to the, you know, the officials board or whatever it is, the competition committee and asked them to.
Well, they are the competition committee,
but, you know,
unfortunately.
So, you know, they're going to them saying that, you know, the Chuck rule needs to be enforced more because, you know, people are jamming them. Well, okay, so, you know, people are getting cut by defensive line that, you know, the Broncos or anybody that's getting cut on the backside. So now the league's saying that, okay, we need to stop this. And I think it's a good thing that the league is stepping in and saying, okay, we're going to try to keep the players healthy.
So they did tighten it up. Denver can't do it as badly as they used to.
You can still cut block, but there's situations where you can't. But, you know, I don't think it's a glaring issue right now. They still do cut block, but I think, you know, some of the schemes and some of the things that they're doing in their offense has changed a lot. You got different runners in there, some of the different offensive linemen. So I think some of the things that they're doing may be a little bit different scheme-wise, but I still think they have that, and I think they're able to do that just like any other team in the league.
Do they instill fear in defenses? Do you see defensive players go against them and be afraid? You know, look at their ankles.
I wouldn't say I go out there and I'm timid or, you know, second guessing myself. I'm aggressive and, you know, just trying to take care of my responsibility. But, you know, it's an unfortunate situation if, you know, somebody does get hurt by things like that. But, you know, like I said, it's a part of the game. I got hurt just picking up a ball and nobody touched me. So you just got to play the game and keep rolling.
Rosie, real quick, what do you see from Jake Plummer? He's catching a lot of heat out there in Denver, playing very well.
He was catching a lot of heat last year about this time, and then I think they rolled off like 10 straight. So we got to go out there and do what we have to do. We can't really focus on, you know, how he's doing, if he's, you know, feeling good before the game, if he's, you know, not feeling so well. I think the important thing for us as a defense is to make it as tough as possible for them to move the ball. And we can get the ball back in Tom's hands, the offense, and Troy, guys like that, you know, guys that go out there and work hard each and every day in the weight room. Hopefully they get the ball in the end zone.
Have you worked on Jay Cutler more than you would a normal backup quarterback, thinking that maybe you see this guy, or is he just sort of at the back of the game plan in case there's an injury?
I wouldn't say that. I think if you get a situation where something changes abruptly like that, like a quarterback change or you know, somebody on, you know, goes down, then I think that's where fundamentals comes in. You just read your keys and play football, and hopefully you can get through the down.
Okay, Rosie, no sacks last week. Yeah, you're off the pace. Come on, man.
Yeah. Thanks.
Need to get you back on the...
Thanks for, you know, making a point of
that. Thanks for the time, Roosevelt Colvin, every single Friday here on Patriots Friday. Come back with your phone calls, 1-866-ESPN-890. It is the Mike Felger Show, 890 ESPN and Patriots Friday.
Yes, sir.
Three, two, and it is Patriots Friday here on 890 ESPN. Mike Felger and the Mike Felger Show. We're thrilled to have our next guest, Troy Brown, Patriots veteran receiver. Troy, how are we doing this week?
We're doing great, man.
We've had a good week of practice, bad week of practice. How's it been out there?
It's always good.
It's not always good, is it? Don't you sometimes have a bad week and you get to Friday and say, boy, this has been a crappy week.
It's always good. You got to find some good in each day, you know.
What has been the mindset? I asked Roosevelt Colvin this as well. What's been the mindset of the team? You're 2-0, but there's certainly been some imperfections there. Are you guys happy with the way you've played? Unhappy with the way you've played?
I don't think we're never happy. You know, most of the guys on this team, even though if we can go out and win 30-0 and still find some room for improvement, you know, and that's what it's all about, especially at this point in the season. You know, you got to find ways to get better and, you know, get better at the things that you're doing well and improve the things that you're not doing so well. So it's definitely areas that, you know, we need to improve on. And finishing games is one of them. You know, getting off to a good start is another one. You know, so it's a lot of things that, you know, we can point the finger to and try to become better at.
That finisher's mentality, I mean, the team over the years has had it very well. I mean, great finishers. That's been a little bit slow this year in coming. Is that because of the new players in here? Are you not up to where you normally are and where you want to be? What would you attribute that to? The fact that you let the Jets back into the game last week.
We've been calling down saying the ratings have been down on the game, so we're trying to get them back up, trying to keep people watching the entire game. So, we just didn't finish, man. You know, it's, like you said, it could take one or two plays here to change the course of a game, and obviously the big play there to Cotchery that he got hit that, you know, everybody thought he was down, you know, us, you know, and he jumps up and he runs 70 yards for a touchdown, you know, so, those are the kind of plays that can change the game very quickly and give a team that's down some momentum. And we can eliminate those kinds of plays and just on offense, you know, finish not having three and outs when you're up that big. You know, just finish the drives and keep it going. Put together a 12, 13-play drive and finish it off with a touchdown. And then you can learn to finish games that way. You know, it's just things like that that just we just didn't do against the Jets, you know. And, you know, this week we're going to have to be able to finish those plays and make those plays to be the team like, you know, Denver.
It's Troy Brown, Patriots receiver here on 890 ESPN. Troy, what is it about the Denver Broncos that gives you guys such problems? You know, you've been here since, what, 93? I couldn't tell you exactly what your record is there, but it's not good. It's 2-4 under Belichick. Denver's probably giving you more problems than any other team in the league. Is there anything about the way they do things that really gives you problems?
I think they've always been a good football team, a lot of talent, a lot of speed, and just a well-coached team, and that in itself presents problems by itself, you know, and for whatever reason, you know, they've been able to go out there and force turnovers and make us turn the ball over, and then, you know, against a team like that that plays well, that gets off to a fast start like they do, and before you know it, you're down, you know, a couple scores, and then you're just playing catch-up ball to them all day, and, you know, they've always had a powerful running game, always been able to make the plays in the passing game when they needed them, and, It's tough to catch up to a team like that, you know. So that's why, you know, it's so important, you know, for us to be able to, you know, start faster and at least, you know, be somewhere in the game, you know, around halftime, you know, as opposed to getting blown out by them, you know, like we have been in the past, you know. So, you know, it's just, you know, they just outplayed us, you know, all those years, you know, and just one of those teams that just, you know, we just hadn't been able to get a grasp on.
Touch on the playoff loss last year. You were involved in a couple of huge plays. The biggest one, obviously, being the Champ Bailey interception that was taken back. That ball was intended for you in the end zone. How did you see that play unfolding? What happened there?
I think Champ just made a great play on the ball, you know, and you know, he was a little bit outside, but he responded well to the I guess to where Brady was looking. You know, I hadn't looked back at the play, you know, since then. You know, and I don't.
You haven't seen it since?
I don't really look back in the past at stuff like that, man. You know, and
did you see Watson chase him down? Have you ever seen
it? I had a bird's eye view of that, so you know, I was back there, but you know, it was pretty impressive. But you know, but he made a great play on the ball. You know, that's why he's, you know, Champ Bailey. You know, and he's just a great athlete and a good athletic, you know, corner. And he made a good play. He's smart out there. He knows, you know, he reads things pretty well. And you know, he made the play.
And well, Troy, let me tell you what he said. He said he basically baited Tom that on a lot of those, you guys ran a crossing route. I don't know who was the slot guy. Was it or you were the slot guy and Branch was on the outside? Is that how it
I
went?
Think, yeah, Givens, I think.
Okay, it was Givens on the outside. And they had been going with you guys on the crossing route, staying with you. And I guess on this play, he did one of these things. I'm doing the fist pump where it means that you break off and you take the guy coming to your side. And he did that, he said, for the first time that night on that play, and he got Tom.
Yeah, well, I guess I told you he was a smart corner. You know, he reads his keys, you know, and he made an adjustment, you know, to what he was seeing. So, and it worked out in his favor, and he made a good play on it, you know.
Okay, well, the second play was the muff punt that you were involved with, and people didn't realize it at the time, but you had hit it. You had called for a fair catch on the play, correct?
Yeah.
And the ball hit you, and the rules are if you called for a fair catch, once it hits you, you're allowed to go after the ball and recover it yourself before it hits the ground. And yet the Denver Bronco hit you before the ball hit the ground. It should have been interference on Denver, right?
Yeah, I didn't see the play, you know, afterwards, you know, but and I've heard those rumors, but that was, like I said, that was last year, man, and you know, I've moved on, you know, and
so again, you don't go back and see that once?
I never looked at it, man. Never, especially that, but I've never seen that play. I've seen the highlights of the other play 1,000 times, you know, but you know, I never went back and looked at it myself on tape, you know, but you know, that was something that happened, you know, last year, and, you know, it was something I can't change it no matter what I do, how much I think about it, and how much I want to change it. It's history, it's written down, it's on tape, it's on film, it's on wherever you want
to. You know, I mean, the irony is, it shouldn't have happened. It should have been interference.
Well,
I mean, it's clear.
They're human beings, too, man. They make mistakes, you know. That's part of the game, you know, and you got to overcome those things in the game. It's going to be good calls, bad calls, and, you know, and questionable calls, and it's part of the game, and as players, we got to be able to respond to those situations when they happen, and, you know, obviously we weren't able to overcome that one, but, you know, that's part of what happens. You know, they make mistakes.
Troy Brown here on Patriots Friday. Got to talk to you about closing in on Stanley Morgan as the Patriots' all-time leader in receptions. You're 14 catches away. How important is that record to you?
Not at all, especially if you're not winning, you know. So
you don't care? I mean, that doesn't mean anything to you to be the number one pass catcher here in the history of the organization?
At this point, no. You know, maybe 5-6 years from now, if it happens, you know, look back on it and you can see your name at the top of the list. You know, you can brag to your kids or something, you know. But right now, you know, my number one goal is, as it has been every year, is just to find a way to help this team win some games, whether that be returning kicks, offense, defense, throwing some touchdown passes or something, you know, but whatever it takes, man, to win, you know. So, and I just enjoy doing what I do, you know, and enjoy playing the game of football. And it's been a part of my life for 28 years. So, I mean, numbers and stats and all that stuff, and that doesn't mean a whole lot to me, you know. I just enjoy being out there on the field, being able to do what I like to do.
Well, you know, a team record like that, Troy, speaks to the longevity within one organization. And in pro sports today, that just doesn't happen in the NFL. Guys don't spend their entire career with one team. It's just so rare. Does that mean something to you that you've been in the league now 14 years and it's all been with one team?
Yeah, I mean, that question comes up a lot. You know, I mean, it's a big topic, you know, wherever you go. I mean, with the players and players that's coming in from other places and just people in general, you know, fans in general, I have to answer that question a lot, you know. So, and it is a good topic, you know, because it's, I mean, now these days, you know, the money entices players to leave and, you know, it's just you can't keep players, the salary cap, whatever it may be, you know what I mean, just all kinds of scenarios that, you know, cause players to leave. And, you know, and it's hard. It's hard to stay with a team 5 years now. You know, it's hard to play out a contract with one team, you know, 4 or 5 year deal with one team. So, right. I mean, so it's been a blessing, man, for me to be here this long, you know, and having to pack up my stuff and get out of town to find new houses, you know. So, I mean, that stuff has been great. You know, I've been able to make some great contacts and relationships here in the community, man. And so it's been lovely, you know. And, you know, hopefully, you know, whenever I decide to hang it up, you know, however my body feels, you know, whenever it tells me it's time, you know, I have a place here.
So tell me, you know, it was last year where New Orleans comes and gives you, frankly, from everything we hear, a better offer than you had to come back here. You had a multi-year deal to go to New Orleans with more upfront money, and you're one of those examples of a guy who took a little bit less to stay here. Why'd you do that? Why'd you feel it was important?
Yeah, to me, it wasn't worth it, you know. My kids didn't want to leave. That was one of the biggest reasons, you know, and you know, I just thought it was better for me just to stay here, you know, overall. You know, like I said, packing up and leaving and having to get the kids stuff together and have them disappointed too, you know, and it wasn't that big of, I don't think it was, to me, you know, maybe to some people it may have been, you know, I'm not taking a dollar less, you know, but to me, you know, it wasn't worth it, you know, and I had, like I said, a lot of relationships here with the team, outside of the team, in the community, and I just thought it was in my best interest to stay here and try to finish out my career, you know.
So that was your mindset. Can you still respect what a guy like Deion Branch then did?
I still respect that. I mean, everybody's individuals, you know. Deion's a very good friend of mine, you know, but that don't mean we have to think the same way, you know. So, that's, you know, part of being friends. We're all different, you know, but, you know, I mean, his decision-making may be a little bit different than mine, you know. But, you know, I love him to death, man, like a little brother, you know. And
have you talked to him this week?
I had talked to him a couple times during this week, so, but he's doing fine.
Is he sad at all?
He misses the guys, and he misses the area or something, but, you know, that's part of a decision he had to make, you know, but I think, you know, he says he's happy, you know, and that's all that matters is his family's happy, you know, so, you know, and that's all that matters in the end.
You mentioned it before, so I've got to go there. You ever consider, when is your last season? You ever think that this could be it, or do you have a plan? Last, 1 more year, 2 more years, 10 more games? How do you think?
Last, you know, 3-4 years, I've been on a good little program, man. You know, and I always come out there each practice and be like, today was a good day. I don't feel too bad. I'll see you tomorrow.
So, to coin Bill Belichick, it's probably day to day.
Day to day.
Day to day on that.
See
one.
You tomorrow. I didn't do too bad today, so I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, Troy. Good luck this week. Good luck on the record, even though you say you don't care about it. Everyone wants to see you get it. It would be great to have you be the all-time leading receiver here for the Patriots. And, again, good luck this week.
Thank you.
Okay, that is Troy Brown here on 890 ESPN and Patriots Friday. Back to your phone calls at 1-866-ESPN-890. It's the Mike Felger Show on 890 ESPN.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's going to be shot. Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
You don't want to, you know, jerk the quarterback off. You don't want to, you know, jerk the quarterback off.
No, you don't want to do that.
You don't want to, you know, jerk the quarterback off.
Gets no better than that, Fred.
Are we back on the air? Are we on?
All right. Tom's disgusted. All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Want to thank Mike Felger for allowing us back in our studio. No, that was good. It's good for our fans to be able to hear those live. And again, you'll be able to hear more of the Mike Felger Show today from 4 to 7 here on Patriots.com Radio or on 890 ESPN Radio in Boston. And Mike's still here with us. Tom's still here. And, you know, before you got here and interviewed Rosie and Troy, we were talking about the game coming up. Andy, myself, Tom think Patriots are going to win fairly easily this game.
Shocker. I could not have seen that coming.
I picked the Jets last week, Felger.
Oh, that's right. You did. All right. At least there's some objectivity.
I didn't bring that up to get into it with you this week. You know, if you want to go there, I'll go there.
Right. Everything's an entree to get into it.
I was telling Tom that as of today, right now, if I had to pick the Cincinnati game, I'd pick the Bengals to win that game.
Well, that's good for you.
I'd pick the Bengals big.
You know, but barring any type of thing I see out of the Patriots or the Bengals this week, I would pick the Bengals to win that game next week. But I think, for some reason, I think this game, as opposed to the last two games, the Patriots played against inferior competition. I think they're going to win this one handily.
Well, they have to play better to do it.
Absolutely.
I mean, they can't play the way they played against the Bills or Jets and have it. You can't take a half off. You take a half off against Denver.
Right.
You'll lose.
I think you'll lose. I mean, and I'm going on the assumption, I'm picking Denver, and I'm going on the assumption that they're going to play better, that it's not going to be 9 points against Kansas City at all. You know, that Jake Plummer does actually take a little bit to get going, and maybe Shanahan holding Jake back last week was, to take care of him, but also not to show the Pats anything. I mean, Shanahan probably knew Damon Heward leading the Chiefs into Denver. He could probably use half the playbook and still get away with it.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah, this guy gets on us. Other than the Packers, are there any games the Patriots going to win this year?
Well, the Packer game is definitely a W. No, I have the Patriots 10-6. So when you do that,
You have to pick your game. You're going to lose.
You have to pick six losses. I mean, I've been on other stations where guys say, "Yeah, the Pats will be 12-4," and then you get week to week, they pick them every week. I'm like, "Well, where's the four losses?
Right.
You know, you got to pick them." So, I mean, if you look at their schedule, I think there's some losable games on there, and Denver was one of them. Now, Jets, I did pick the Jets on that one, but I didn't, bet my daughter's tuition fund on that one. I just thought it could go either way, and it turns out maybe that was a game that could have gone either way.
Definitely. If the Patriots play the way they did the first half, I think they will beat the Broncos handily. If they play the way they played the second half, or for a lot of the game against the Bills, they will probably lose the game. I'm expecting them to improve. I'm expecting them to play better. I think Maroney's going to get more touches than he has in any one game.
Well, he needs to. I mean, we were just watching the replay here, and I just made a comment. Rashay Caldwell can't play. I mean, every time Brady throws him the ball, he's got a cornerback draped all over him. He can't create any separation, and he can't get open. So they need Chad Jackson to step up his game and improve from last week's performance, because Rashay Caldwell, in my opinion, is done.
Well, can I give you one little encouraging thing? And that was, on that last drive, he did pick up that key third down, and it turns out it was a side adjust. It was a mental play, and Rashay was aware enough to pick up what Brady wanted and execute it and pick up a key first down. And I agree with you, Rashay Caldwell's not good, but I took that as a small step forward, a sign that maybe things are coming.
If you're going to make one play a game, how many times it'll be a key one?
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, okay.
He's got to be more consistent. I'm watching Brady, the look on Brady's face after he throws the ball his way, and it's not a good look.
Well, all right. My thing that I'm worried about this game, besides Rashay Caldwell, is this whole Matt Light situation. The fact that he hasn't practiced, as far as we know.
And he's probable.
He's probable. But as far as the media knows, we haven't seen him out in the field. And if he's not in there, Kazier hasn't played a game this week. So I have questions about him just stepping in and replacing Matt Light.
Well, let's pose the question that we were talking about to Felger earlier. Do you, if Kazier and Light can't go, do you A, move Mankins outside and put Hochstein in, or do you start Wesley Britt, or do you move O'Callaghan over? Which is the best of those options?
I'll tell you, I love it. Patriots.com, it must be the only place in the world talking about this, except the Mike Felger show, and I can't even guarantee you.
But Mike,
we'll get to it, but it's a great question.
The problem they had against Denver last year, this is what it's all about, protecting Tom Brady.
It's a huge point, Fred.
Protecting Tom Brady.
It's a huge point. Congratulations for going there. I mean, I'm not being sarcastic. It's a It's a huge point. What do you do? I do think you move Mankins outside and bring in Hochstein.
That's what we all think.
Do you trust Nick Kazier? I think the guy can play. I think they like him, but there's issues with the guy somewhere. I mean, he can't get on the field for whatever reason or another, and that guy would scare me if he's coming in cold against an attacking defense like that. Wesley Britt, forget about it. I don't want to see that guy.
I said,
now, Billy Yates, they're paying that guy full salary to be in the practice squad. Maybe maybe you want to get your money's worth with that. I mean, I don't know. I think Logan Mankins has been their best offensive lineman this year. I think he's been terrific. No, he's been terrific from a guard position, not a left tackle. That's a whole different kettle of fish. You've just got to, I guess, hope that they're not being duplicitous with the probable probable designation, and that Matt Light will actually play. Maybe they're playing a little game by not showing him at practice.
Because we know the state of the Patriots offensive line last year in that playoff game was in shambles.
Yep.
Light was out. Tom Ashworth barely made the game, half hour before the game.
Well, let me ask you guys, because this, I think, is the key question, and not surprisingly, Bill and the players won't shed any light on it, but I'm just curious, is there any schematic advantage that Shanahan schemes just seem to work against Belichick schemes? What is it? Is it the zone blocking scheme just work better against two gapping teams, or does the attack style that Denver use on defense, their particular way of getting at Brady, just affect him more than other schemes? I mean, that to me is a big question.
I have no idea.
Denver just gives him more trouble, Fred, than any other team in the league.
And you make a good point. You have that zone blocking, that movement on the offensive line.
First, I mean, I'm not saying that's
first
it.
First guys
but
that are supposed to be stout on the line. You know, maybe last week using the 4-3 was a tune-up for this week. Maybe they come out in a 4-3 in this game because they realize that having, you know, that type of, you know, here's my area that I have to defend and I really don't move, a la Vince Wilfork. Maybe they have to go to a 4-3 to defend against this team.
And offensively, they've always put pressure on Brady. I think many teams let Brady get comfortable, and if you do that, don't get off the bus because he's going to kill you. He's going to go 20 for 27 for 300 and some yards. Denver says, make plays against us if you want, but we're bringing the pressure on you. You're not going to get comfortable here, and I think that's what you have to do when you play Tom Brady.
Yeah,
everyone sucks but me.
I'm high on Shanahan. I mean, I just, to me, he's the second best coach in the league, and part of it is because he's had such success against Brady and Belichick. I mean, if you do that, that tells me something. Those guys are hard to beat.
He had a little bit of a comeback last year as far as I was concerned. For a while, I thought he was turning into Captain Ahab. You know, the quirks and the sideline.
He's got weird teeth, and, you know, he's had some face work and all that. That's weird.
There
I agree.
A couple games the guy can coach. Recently where he's just been acting erratic. And some of the things that he's done in the offseason, even Bronco fans are like,
Maurice Clarett in the third round.
What's he doing here? Is he think he can, you know, but he did have somewhat of a comeback last year. Belichick obviously, you know, thinks he's, you know, one of the best coaches in the league.
Let me ask, Mike, what do you think? Because last week, Belichick told us he doesn't really talk about the opposing coach. And this week, he couldn't wait to gush over Mike Shanahan.
You know, it's interesting. I had someone tell me, outside of the football world, tell me that Bill and Eric Mangini actually spoke before and after the game on the phone. And this whole sort of thing that we've seen was was a put on by Belichick. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying that's...
But I'm not Bill Belichick.
That's something that I heard. Is that true, Fred? You know stuff like this.
I don't know anything like that. All I know is that my opinion is the same as that civilian that you were talking about. Who cares?
Who cares. I care. I mean, I think it speaks poorly.
He came out, he shook his hand. I'm sure, you know, when Mangini left the team, Belichick had glowing words about him, gave him permission to have the interview, gave him permission last year or the year before.
Well, he can't deny permission for a coordinator to interview for a head coaching job, Fred.
Gave him permission 2 years ago to interview with
the Oakland
Raiders.
I give you permission to breathe. Oh, Bill, thank you. You are so kind.
Gave him permission 2 years ago to interview for the Oakland Raiders defensive coordinator job. I mean, it's the natural progression of thing. He wants the best for people that he cares about. He cared about Eric Mangini. Way overblown. This whole thing about Mangini saying how his credentials were turned off and his computer access were turned off. Well, so would mine be. All right, so that's nothing personal.
Although Fred didn't spend 10 years coaching under Belichick.
Yeah, so what do you do with all your...
I've been here for 13 years, so that
Belichick doesn't
too.
Care about you, so we're talking about Belichick and Mangini.
Can you imagine that, Fred?
Bill Belichick doesn't turn off people's credentials. That's done... And, you know, he has nothing to do with that.
Well, don't go that far. Come on,
now
Fred.
All of a sudden Bill Belichick has nothing to do with what this organization does.
A toilet doesn't flush in this building without
right.
Belichick knowing what's going on.
You know what?
He got you there, Fred.
If that was the case, the Rolling Stones wouldn't have played here on Wednesday.
Are you kidding me? Bill Belichick tried to schedule a tractor pull on a Sunday afternoon. He loves the Stones. Fred.
I'd say he doesn't love the Stones, but...
No. He was out there with a hoe this afternoon.
The rock guy.
You weren't here all week when the Stones basically took over the lower half of this stadium.
No, I saw it.
And created a distraction for the team.
What? What distraction? What, they had to walk by some scaffolding on the way to the field?
It's a pain in the butt.
What he's trying to tell you is when it comes to non-football things, the crafts will override Belichick. But we're talking about football, and Belichick has the last word.
Of course.
Of course he does.
Well, Mangini is football related.
Well, let me tell you something. Big deal about nothing. Much ado about nothing. They're good friends. They'll always be friends. But when it's football season, Bill Belichick worries about winning football games, as does Eric Mangini. And I've seen him in the hallways here. Five people will walk by, and he won't even look up because he's lost in thought. He's eccentric. And with the genius of what he is comes certain eccentricities. I can live with that. I can live with that. It's not a big deal.
And people wonder why we call this sunshine.com. I mean,
no,
really.
Why is that not reality? Why am I the only one that appreciates what he's done in the last 5 years?
You're not the only one who appreciates
Fred, the only one who likes
Bill Belichick.
Oh, what a martyr. Oh, my God. Why am I the only one to appreciate Bill Belichick in this town? Oh, my God.
All right. That's going to be it for our show. We'll leave you with Mike Felger.
Lay it on any thicker.
John Rook's show will be up next. Mike, you're going to stick around, right? Because you have more interviews.
Absolutely. Mike Felger's show starts at 4 o'clock.
All right. That's great. So check that out on Patriots.com or 890 ESPN Boston. We'll see you on Tuesday with the next edition and after an easy Patriots win. After an easy